Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, the Jefferson Chamber will have their State of Jefferson event tomorrow, October 29th, at the Ilario Center on the West Bank. The event starts at 11:15 a.m. with networking, and the program begins promptly at noon. Usually about 600 business leaders, community members, and more attend. And the parish president delivers the State of the State address. And we're joined by Ruth Lawson, the president of the Jefferson Chamber, and the president of Jefferson Parish, Cynthia Lee Shang. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning, Joel.
Thank you for joining us. Ruth, let's start with you, and if you could give us an explanation of what it is. A lot of folks don't really understand the role of the Jefferson Chamber. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, of course. Jefferson Chamber is about a 1,000-member business organization. We're dedicated to promoting the economic growth and supporting businesses within Jefferson Parish. Certainly proud of our networking and our connecting abilities, but I think what sets us a little bit apart is our advocacy function. We advocate for policies and legislation that benefit the local business community. We lobby at the local, state, and federal level on issues such as taxes, education, infrastructure, and certainly business regulations. But we also provide, resources and support to our business members, professional development, education opportunities. And then we work to attract new businesses to the area, of course, in partnership with G&O Inc. and JEDCO, to support the expansion of existing businesses and to create, a favorable economic environment in Jefferson. And then, lastly, we engage with the community and we try to make sure that Jefferson Parish has an incredible quality of life for our residents and, to attract businesses. So we're very proud of our networking opportunities, but, equally proud of our work on the advocacy front and as well as, engaging with the community for quality of life.
And I recall when I was sheriff and my predecessor, Sheriff Harry Lee, we always used the chamber as a good sounding board on certain issues that, that were or challenges that we were presented with. And I always appreciated that role that the chamber fulfilled as well. And I'm sure, Cynthia, you would agree with me. And tomorrow you get an opportunity to deliver kind of the state of the state of Jefferson Parish.
I do, along with our chairman, Councilman Scott Walker. He's going to share the stage with me. And it's something that, I've been involved in since I've been in office. It is probably the biggest, the biggest speech that we're scheduled to give of the year because it is so important. And it's something I look forward to every time. And you get a period of time, and then Ruth also asks this question. So, you know, for the participants, it's a lot of information in a short period of time. That's my struggle as to how to break it down into, you know, what there's been so much that's gone on all year. What do we talk about? But it's an event that I look forward to every year, and it's very well attended. And we have some special things going on tomorrow.
Absolutely. In fact, I think one is the bicentennial for Jefferson Parish is in 2025. I know the chamber will be involved, and obviously the parish as well.
Yes. So we're in preparation mode, and we have committees going on. We will celebrate our 200th year after the Super Bowl. It's on February 11th. But want something that's very special, and we appreciate the chamber getting involved with us to help with the distribution, is that Becky Foss, she painted a picture, and it's TransDev hired her to do a bicentennial painting, and they're you know, donating it to the parish, and we're going to unveil it at tomorrow's State of the Chamber luncheon. So that's going to be a real highlight of the event, I think.
Ruth, what do you find right now is the most pressing issue for your chamber members? I know you're interacting with business leaders each and every day. What are they really thinking about at this point?
I think it's really the cost of doing business right now. Insurance, of course, and I know you talk about it frequently, and all of our partners as well, but the insurance cost is just astronomical on all different levels. And I think that has kind of been our biggest issue for the last 2 to 3 years our members have faced. And then, you know, as well, just making sure that Jefferson Parish is a conducive place to do business. And, you know, we work hard with Parish President Lee Shang. She's always very receptive and appreciative of her, as well as the council, to make sure that, you know, we are putting forth the right initiatives, the right regulations and legislation to make sure that, you know, all businesses are still welcome to be here.
Cynthia, I know you have your finger on the pulse as well. I saw some more recent data about in-migration, out-migration. A lot of it seems to be directly related to what Ruth just articulated about insurance costs in Jefferson Parish.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and look, that's the, when you have a good relationship with the business community, you're dialed into experts right away. And like we talk about insurance and what it's a difficult for us in government, and it's difficult for the private sector as well. And a chamber member told me, and this is the tidbits of information that is so critical that we have this, you know, relationship with the business community. He said, everybody's kind of, the insurance, it bleeds over into so many other industries. So we have high insurance costs that we're all having to pay. But the Home Builders Association will say, and it's freezing people in place. You know, you have a home. Think of the life cycle of what you do in your housing. You might be in an apartment. Then you might get married and have a starter home. And then you have kids and you want a bigger home. And then you're an empty nester and you want to size down. It's freezing everybody in place. So many of these issues that we face have real long tentacles throughout other industries. And that's the importance of us communicating with the business community and knowing how it affects us in a bigger picture. And that's why a government relationship with the private sector is so very critical in our policymaking and how we respond.
And interesting, and I'd like both of y'all to opine on this, it has much broader and longer term implications when you talk about that freezing in place, right? I mean, I often wonder and ponder, how do we break the cycle right now with this, and what period of time are we looking at?
So I'll tell you, you know, I got really involved in emergency management because we've had so many emergencies. And this will be one of my talking points tomorrow, is that we think of emergency management of like, Newell, when you interviewed me after Francine, or everybody's looking at, you know, when the electricity will be on. That's kind of what the public thinks of emergency management, but it really is much broader than that. It's the preparation, it's the mitigation projects, it's the recovery that we have to do, it's elevating structures, it's the coastal restoration projects. It's so much wider than that, and when you look at it in that lens, so much of what we do in government is preparing us for that, but it also is very critical in the private sector as well. So we try to do things that will make us look more attractive to the insurance industry so they will come to Louisiana or they will come to Jefferson and write more policies. So it all feeds into one another if you look at it that way. And we have worked with the chamber to do things to change our procedures to make us look more attractive to the insurance company. So they will write more. You know, we've done roof permits, or we've changed, you know, certain things, or we pass legislation so we get more discounts on our flood insurance. All of it weaves together. And if you don't really go deep into it, you don't realize how much it's all intertwined.
And Ruth, I guess your members recognize there are some little nuances and things that government sometimes does that, you know, and I was guilty of it too. It looked readily apparent. It looked like it made sense, but you don't know about all these little nuances and connecting all of the dots. And that's why it's good to have the chamber and the business community as a sounding board.
Of course, and there's many opportunities that we engage with Parish President Lee Shang and the entire council on these different nuances and how do we communicate what they're doing to a broader audience. I think that we bring some, you know, positivity there and some opportunity for them, and this certainly is one of those events. But making sure that we're in constant communication with them as well. You know, Parish President Lee Shang and Jefferson Parish in general has been, you know, incredible in our response to emergencies. You know, they're proactive, not just reactive, and have always been, you know, communicative to their audience. And I think that's, you know, very important. And one other thing that I kind of wanted to touch on that you mentioned, Noel, was the out-migration and things that we look at is, you know, I think anyone you talk to now, a lot of their children aren't, you know, they're leaving for college and they're not returning to Jefferson Parish. And so those are kind of the quality of life initiatives we look to, too, and in building a pro-business environment, making sure that, you know, our children have the opportunity to come back here and prosper as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the biggest challenges we have, and both of y'all can comment on this, is that for the most part, we're pretty much close to or near fully developed, right? I mean, there are some opportunities on the West Bank with some large tracts of land, but not as many. And so that brings about a different challenge as it relates to just kind of rethinking, reengineering, and rehabbing what's been around for a while.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of our biggest challenges. I mean, go ahead, Ruth, you go.
So, I was just going to touch, we are, you know, very unique in the sense that we are landlocked. You know, we do have a few areas that are ripe for development on the West Bank, but, you know, the East Bank is pretty much completely developed. And so making sure that, you know, we're strategic in the type of developments we want, the type of growth that we want. And we bring, along with Parish President Lee Shang and a lot of our council members, we visit cities who have seen, you know, exponential growth over the last 10 to 15 years, such as Nashville and Austin, and try to look at kind of, you know, interesting initiatives they've done to do that, you know, to really grow and what kind of programs and policies they put in place to do that.
Cynthia?
And I'll add, Noel, you know, the council and Councilman, under Councilman Dino Bonanno's leadership, you know, we took over, we tried to attempt to relook at our industrial zoning laws. And if it weren't for the chamber's involvement in that, and look, that's a difficult thing to do because you're trying to attract industry here and you're trying to attract big industry here. And you have neighborhoods that are concerned about, you know, what this looks like for us. It's very, very difficult. And they worked on it for probably the better part of a year, if not more, Ruth, I'm not really sure. But if we didn't have the chamber there helping guide us and, you know, representing industry, and we work with the neighborhood groups to represent them, you know, I think he said if nobody's happy, then we did okay. But that's a difficult task to take on, you know, and the chamber and Ruth especially was very critical in getting that passed. And it did pass, you know, it passed without a huge angry crowd at the council meeting because they worked so much beforehand to have those discussions.
Well, it's funny because I just talked about this issue in the city most recently, and I'm not asking y'all to opine on it, about homelessness, about having this overarching plan, understand that it's a balance of interests, right? And sometimes these interests at some level compete and create friction with one another. But you have to work your way through that and understand that one side's not bad because they desire something that the other side doesn't want. I mean, that's life. I mean, yeah. When you manage people, you come in contact with that conflict every minute of every day, and it's refreshing to see a situation as you just described, where you take a very complex problem and you work through it. It takes some time, but you work through it and you get it done.
Yes, and it was a complex problem.
We spent about 2.5. We spent about 2.5-3 years working with Councilman Banana, the entire council, and the administration on the industrial zoning. You know, certainly there were pain points that at the end we didn't think were, you know, the best for the pro-business environment that we're trying to achieve. But we also realized, you know, there was some negotiation that had to happen, and we had to give a little bit, and so did the concerned citizens. And what we ended up with was a good, you know, product for Jefferson Parish, one in which we can still prosper under and welcome industry within Jefferson. So I completely agree that, you know, it's important for both sides to feel represented and as well get to a point of, you know, mutual agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. So what can we anticipate tomorrow? You usually sell this event out, right? And so I've been to many. Kind of miss them, actually. I would love to attend, but it's in the middle of my show, so I'm not able to make any of these lunch appointments any longer. So, Ruth?
We'll have to have you out one time. We'll have to do it another time, special for you. But, yeah, we'll have about 600 attendees. It'll be the Ilaria Center tomorrow. We'll have business leaders and local, state, and federal elected officials as well. Councilman Scott Walker and Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang will give, you know, a short presentation with opening remarks. We'll have a panel discussion. And then, you know, they'll close with some closing thoughts. We still have tickets available. They start at $100 at jeffersonchamber.org. So we'd love to see you out there.
All righty. Cynthia, final thoughts?
No, I look forward to it. And again, this is one of the biggest presentations that we do, and it's an opportunity for Jefferson Parish government to connect with the business community and say, you know, we've been busy all year. And we, sometimes if it doesn't make the news and it's not sort of an event that makes the news, people don't know what we do. So we cherish the opportunity just to get in front of this kind of audience and give our updates.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it and hope we y'all have a great event tomorrow. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that was Ruth Lawson, president of the Jefferson Chamber, and Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang. We will be right back after the break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL State sideline reporter and digital content producer, about whatever that was that went on yesterday. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, who is incredibly excited about talking about this game this morning. Jeff, I was telling Coleman earlier, it just felt like I was swallowing cough syrup during that entire game. It was just ooky, icky, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think both those teams set back offensive football by about 10 years during that experience. But yeah, it's unfortunately it's we're used to it by now. You know, losing doesn't feel unique to this team anymore. It doesn't feel like a surprise for this team anymore. It feels expected, and I think that's the problem, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It you were on the sideline. It just felt like there wasn't any exigency. I mean, I know they're all professionals. I know they're trying hard. I never not believe that, but it just didn't feel like energy was there. It's hard to describe.
Well, you know, it's tough because you can look at that game and you can through a positive lens and say, hey, I thought the defense played really well in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, that was the group that had struggled each of the last 2 weeks. They hadn't been able to stop the run game. They did. Pete Werner came back, and he looked like the missing piece, right? Like he was sniffing out screens behind the line. He was getting tackles for loss. The Saints, the defense pinned him back. They ended up getting a safety, right? They forced punts on, I want to say, three of the first four possessions. Two of them were three and outs. There was obviously that one Justin Herbert run, but otherwise, you know, he held him to a field goal on that drive. You were up 2-0 at the end of the first quarter. I think it was 3-2 for a majority of the second quarter.
Right.
And the problem is the offense. Like, you could say, hey, the last 2 weeks it was a kind of equal opportunity problems. This game was all about the offense or the lack of it. And, you know, I'm about halfway through kind of going through the game now. I'm not quite to the second half yet. That's a whole other can of worms, but the frustrating thing is you watch it and there were explosive plays in there, right? The first play of the game was a 23-yard run by Alvin. You had a long screen pass to Alvin. You had a couple nice runs by Kendre Miller that got called back by penalties. And that's where you're like, hey, your margins are so, so thin that you cannot have these mistakes wiping out key plays in Chargers territory, right? Like, this is a game that you might have been able to win kicking field goals. But you got to get in field goal range to kick field goals. And too much of the time they had those mistakes. As I go back and watch it, I'm not as negative about Spencer Rattler's performance as I felt watching it live. My biggest gripe with him, though, is there was too many inaccurate balls. And, again, you're talking about you have razor-thin margins. You have to take advantage of the situations in front of you. And there were just too many moments of the close interception that was actually – not an interception because the ball touched the ground. I mean, that's just too high, right? Like, you got to hit Taysom Hill in stride. He's a tight end. He's not Chris Olave. You can't ask him to go up over his head to catch a pass. And, you know, that's a mistake on the quarterback, right? There was a screen pass a couple plays later where it was too high and Alvin couldn't call it in. I think Alvin's having some difficulties catching the ball with his injured hand a little bit. There's been a couple plays the last few weeks where you see that kind of show up. But, you know, it just felt like, you know, the details weren't there. And that's something that, coaches and players have talked about. They're talking about, hey, we got to fix this. Well, you know, you're six games into a losing streak, and it's still not fixed. So, you know, something's got to give.
Yeah, full transparency for me. I was doing my Uber duties and getting family members down to the Taylor Swift concert. So I missed the first quarter and half of the second quarter. And so it wasn't until the back half of the second quarter that I came in. And then the second half was, it was just, you know, not good.
No, and you just kind of saw a lot of the same stuff, right? Like you had some nice gains in the run game, but too much of the time you were getting stuffed. You know, they had a third or second and two or second and one early in the game, and they ran the ball twice. I think they might have lost a yard, right? And they ended up punting from near midfield, and it's just frustrating. You know, you can't win games that way. You got to be able to take advantage of second and short. Like, that's got to be a first down. You know, they're not crowding the line of scrimmage, right? This isn't a goal line defense. You got to be able to run for 2 yards there, and you can't do it. You know, Kendre Miller is incredibly frustrating because you see it when he's out there. He's got juice. Like, he's making guys miss. Even, you know, his stat line isn't even representative of what he actually did in that game, because he had multiple 10-plus yard runs that were called back by penalties that did not impact the play. On one, he just made 3 guys miss in a line, and he went for 15 yep. yards. I think it was Lucas Patrick who got called for a hold on that play. Lucas had a pair of holds in the first half, and you know, like he, and then second half even had a kick return up to the 40-something yard line. You know, like, he's, every time he touches the ball, it seems like something good happens. But then another hamstring injury, and it was actually to the opposite leg that he injured in training camp. And you know, you hope that it's not as significant as the one he injured in training camp. I would say that's a good thing to hear, that he didn't just re-aggravate that injury, because that was obviously a very significant hamstring injury, considering it took him about 8 weeks to get back from. So hopefully it's not something that keeps him out extended time. But, you know, that's just been the story of his career. Like, when he's out there, he has juice, he makes big plays, but he can't stay on the field. And, you know, I think it's incredibly frustrating, because this is a team that needs every playmaker that it can get.
So next week we get Carr back. Is that what's happening?
I think that's the goal. You know, we'll have to see how this week of practice goes. You know, I think 3 to 4 weeks was kind of the idea. At this point, we're obviously 3 weeks in. You know, you could say, hey, they can't afford another loss. I don't know. I think you're kind of at the point now where you may have lost too many games, right? Like, I don't know if you can turn a 2-6 season around. It's only happened a handful of times in the last 20, 30 years that a team started 2-6 and got into the postseason. It did happen like 2 years ago with Jacksonville, so it's not like it can't happen. But yeah, I think your goal would be to get Derek back this week. And if you can't, you're going to have to decide, hey, do we go with Spencer? Do we go with Jake Haener? I thought Jake, you know, could have probably made that switch a little earlier in that game. If it was me, I would have done it at halftime. I think that drive before halftime maybe convinced them to stick with him a little longer, because he did have that nice 2-minute drive for a field goal late in the first half. And I don't know, because I kind of thought, like, hey, going in, if you can't get any offense in the first half, you just have to consider a change here. And clearly they felt the same way. They just kind of played it out a little bit longer. I asked Jake after the game if they were considering a change, if they were talking about a change. He said no. The first time he heard about it was when Andrew Janoka, the quarterback's coach, came up to him with about, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the third quarter and said, hey, man, you're in the game. But I thought he went in there and he did some good things, just like he did against the Broncos. And he led the touchdown drive. You know, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't. You didn't get in the end zone, so there wasn't any of that. But, you know, it felt like you could sustain offense with him in there. He got to get the ball out of his hand a little quicker. So I would say if you don't have Derek Carr, I think you probably go with Jake. But either way, you know, one of my takeaways from this 3-week stretch, and I know there's a lot of people out there that think Derek Carr was holding this offense back. And I've been a little softer on Derek Carr than some others, just because, you know, I think that what you've seen over the last year plus is that Derek has been covering up for a lot of issues on the offense. And a lot of those things have been kind of laid bare now that you don't have a veteran quarterback who can make up for some of those issues. And you're kind of just seeing what the sum of the parts on offense are without that veteran in there. And it's not a pretty picture. So I think, if nothing else, I think over the last 3 weeks, you've gained an appreciation for that Derek Carr does raise your offensive baseline quite a bit from what it could be. So, you know, if they can get him back out there and they look like a team capable of winning, that'll be great. But, you know, 6 games in the hole now, it's tough to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Jeff, talk to me about sacks. I think the Saints were sacked 6 times or five or six times, if my memory serves me correct. and a lot of hurries. I mean, they just always seem to have somebody with a hand in their face back there.
Yeah, it's tough in this game because usually I'll look at the quarterback stats and say, okay, how many times was he sacked? But, you know, in this game, there's obviously two quarterbacks. I think that the Chargers had 5 sacks. They had, let's see, I'm counting in real time here. It's 7 quarterback hits. The bigger number to me, you had 6 tackles for loss in that game. That's a crazy number. You cannot be getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage that many times. The Saints on their half, they had a bunch of plays behind the line of scrimmage too. They had 2 sacks, 7 QB hits, 6 tackles for loss. So, I mean, again, the defense played well. The offense couldn't get anything done. But, you know, I think a good number of those sacks came late in the game for Jake Haener. He didn't get hit too much early on after he came in. It was that long, I want to say it was like an 11-play drive that actually ended the game. They had an untimed down on the final play of the game, which, man, can you just let this thing end? But yeah. the pass protection has been a problem. And, again, you know, I think that's a veteran quarterback can maybe make up for some of those things. He can help with the protection. He can identify things a little quicker than a young quarterback might. And you're seeing that kind of play out. But, yeah, Spencer Rattler, over the course of 2.5 games, two games in a little under 3 quarters, has been sacked 11 times. That's crazy. Right, that can't happen. And so part of it's on the quarterback, part of it's on the offensive line. And I wish I could sit here and say, we just haven't invested in it. It would actually be less frustrating if the Saints hadn't made the investment in the offensive line. I've had people saying, hey, the Saints just need to keep drafting offensive linemen until they get it right. And I agree with that. But when you look at the group they had out there, you're talking about 3 first-round picks. You're talking about Trevor Penning, a first-round pick. Cesar Ruiz, a first-round pick. Talia Sifuaga, a first-round pick. Right?
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, when Eric McCoy gets back, you would have a second-round pick, which was your first pick of that draft that you traded up for. So it's not like they haven't invested in the draft. They just, you know, haven't had the success that you need out of those high draft picks. So, that's a problem. And it's just kind of and the depth on that unit, the depth across the board, I think, has become an issue. You know, like you can say, hey, you know, getting Pete Werner back is a big deal, but okay, you should be able to survive one linebacker missing a game, and that can't be your excuse for not being able to stop the run. I do think he makes a difference, but again, you have to have depth, and I just don't see this team having the quality depth that teams need to win consistently in the NFL, and that's how you end up losing 6 games in a row, because injuries happen. You got to be able to, you know, you're not going to win all of your games and the quarterback goes out, but you can't get dominated every game like they have been, so this team has a lot of questions to answer.
So we go to Carolina this week. The Chargers defense, they had a good defense. I don't think that they're going to have that same situation when they head to Carolina, right?
No, I mean, the Panthers are probably the worst team in the NFL. The Saints have played 2 top 10 defenses over the last 2 weeks. Probably the two... You know, 2 defenses that you don't want to face when you don't have your starting quarterback in there. If you have to turn to a rookie quarterback at any time, you know, these 2 defenses were definitely not the ones you wanted to face. They get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They give you a lot of looks that are trying to confuse you, change things up at the last second. And, yeah, I think you kind of saw that come to fruition. You know, whether Derek's out there or not, you should expect to beat the Panthers. And I think Bobby on the post game yesterday kind of put it, it's like, yeah, if the sky isn't falling quite yet. If you lose to the Panthers, the sky is on the ground. Like, you can't, there's no getting past that. That is the worst team in the NFL, in my opinion. And in the opinion of the records, they have 1 win in 7 games, 8 games. So, no, I mean, and that's the problem. Like, you can go out there and get a win. That's not going to mean a whole lot. It's like the free space in bingo. Like, you either get that or something. You know, you run out of ink, you know?
Right.
Like, that's the problem. And so, you know, if you go out there and win, and then maybe you can come back and reset and win a few games in a row, and who knows what happens. But, yeah, you got to go out there and get a win. I mean, there's no getting around it. So we'll see how they handle that situation.
And it's not an easy schedule. You know, you still got Green Bay out there. You have Washington that's playing miraculous football.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know, Atlanta, they're playing well. It's going to be interesting.
Well, you got the fighting Jameis Winstons out there in Cleveland. They got a win yesterday. Yeah. They beat the Ravens, who would be my pick for the Super Bowl. So that's going to be an interesting game when they come to the Superdome for sure. That felt like a win a couple weeks ago. Now there's going to be a lot of energy on that Browns sideline for that game. And another excellent defense. So, yeah, I mean, you should have some wins on this schedule, but this is not a 6-1 stretch, right?
No.
And that's what you would need it to be to have any kind of realistic hope for the playoffs at this point. So, yeah, I mean, all you can do is go out there and, you know, how do you eat a whale one bite at a time? You know, you can't worry about the games 3-4 weeks down the road. You just got to win the game in front of you, and maybe you can win a game, gain some confidence, guys start playing better, and, you know, you get the starting quarterback back in the fold and things look better. But you're kind of just seeing the same picture of a team year after year that makes the same mistakes and fails in the same moments. And it's frustrating because, you know, the whole idea behind this was continuity and avoiding that and avoiding kind of those building block things that you already feel like you've established. And you know, you extended Alvin Kamara, you kind of signaled that, hey, we're not necessarily tearing this thing down to the studs the way that a lot of people might be yelling for them to do. But you know, you got to do something, has to break in your way to justify kind of the status quo as it is. And you know, those two wins at the start of the season just seem further and further away every time we talk about it. I feel like these segments that I do with you every week have just gotten sadder and sadder and sadder every week.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you look back, Carolina is the worst team, in, as you pointed out, in the NFL, and then Dallas isn't setting the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, the two wins that we had were against mediocre teams, as it turns out.
Yeah, Dallas is definitely, I think, disappointed in their season, no question. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not like you didn't exactly beat juggernauts either.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not a pretty picture, however you try to spin it.
Exactly. All right, we got through that, Jeff.
Yeah, we did it. Another one down.
And I appreciate you coming on because I know you had a late night, you know, and we always appreciate hearing from you and your perspective. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
For sure, Neil. Good talk. See you next week.
All right, man. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Really enjoy my conversations with him. I love his analysis of the game as well. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, you're up. What say you?
Hello, Noel.
Yes, sir.
My reference to evil wasn't directly pointing at you specifically.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry for the misunderstanding.
The term evil I use was the fact that let me tell you something. I have no sympathy for people who are drug addicted and put themselves in that situation. None whatsoever. But I personally know people who have lost everything from no fault of their own. I also had people, even in my family, who have serious mental illness. They are on another planet. My thing is, they should have done something when this problem first happened, first started, when they first started recognizing it, and figure something out, what to do for the overflow of the situation. I don't like the idea of taking people because you got company coming to your house. We throw them in the backyard until the company leaves. Do something for the people who are already here to take care of that homeless situation. I do have sympathy for the ones who are there, no choice of their own, really. I equate it to the Depression, where people lost everything in the Great Depression and were thrown on the streets. And like I said, it's a bad situation, and I just think it could have been handled a little differently. A little differently. Nah. That's just me. And I think it's not right to say that.
You
wouldn't want them on your front lawn. Of course not. You wouldn't want them on your front lawn. But y'all throwing the baby out with the bathwater with this situation. Same thing with the streets. Streets been bad here. Things been bad here. Why you got to do it? Because you got people coming in and they already know how bad it is here. In all these metropolitan cities. They already know. And my thing about being bad and how America is not is a disaster. They keep saying we got the most powerful country in the world. We have the best economy in the world. We have the best opportunity in the world. And what's wrong with America? What's wrong with us? What's the problem? Why are we such a mess if we have all this going for us? I just don't get it.
I could tell you it's all about priorities and it's all about execution. I mean, we could talk about things all day long. We can talk about plans. We can talk about all of that. I'm sure the Saints had a great game plan yesterday. They didn't execute. I mean, it's the same thing in government. You can have a plan. You got to execute. And I said there, you know, as it relates to the homeless situation, you have to have an overarching plan and you have to be persistent. And you can't accept certain things. This is a balance of interests. And people are not bad because they have a belief that we ought to be better in so many different ways. And that, you know, connect all the dots as to what we're presenting. I mean, that's why we have all this effort when we have these big events, because the eyes of the world are on us. And there's no better time to have your best foot forward than right there in that moment. That moment matters. And that's why there's all this energy being spent here. Unfortunately, we've never followed through after that. And I know I've talked to Michael Heck about this a lot. I hope that this is an opportunity that we see what can be accomplished and that we're going to stay persistent in the aftermath of Taylor Swift, in the aftermath of the Super Bowl, because that's what really matters. And I agree with you there, Glenn, for certain. Thank you so much for calling us back, Glenn. Appreciate you spending a little time with us. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Guy Williams. We'll talk about a bunch of things. Home sales at a new low, Starbucks struggles, the Boeing strike, Taylor Swift effect. A pivotal moment. U.S. economic data will be a mess, according to the Wall Street Journal. We'll talk about that and others when we return. So stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.